This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, I think, from my perspective, made it very clear to the league that we were open for business, and we were very diligent in the way we were going about this, meaning we wanted to improve our hockey team. And there were certainly a lot of opportunities to do futures and prospect picks for different types of deals, multipliers, and it's just for my thought process on this was, how can we improve our team? And I think today was a good day.
Do you think it was just a case where the standings are, you had to make a major shift with a piece of your core?
Yeah, you know, I think, Mike, you evaluate that as you go and you say, okay, like, what's working, what's not working, and you can't be afraid of making changes, you can't be afraid of making big trades. And I'd be lying if I didn't say part of the reason they were really open to a big trade is how the season's gone. But these are hard trades to make. We trade out good players, and you know, we're excited about the return, but these are hard days. But at the end of the day, when I kind of get to this point, I'm talking to you guys, I feel like we accomplished our goal coming into the trade deadline period of, you know, making our team better.
2 years ago you signed Dylan to that contract. You probably never imagined getting to this point. Like, when did you kind of have an idea that you'd be willing to listen on him in particular, and what led you to that point?
Well, I think I have a lot of respect for Dylan Cousins. I'll start there. And I believe that Dylan is going to be a very good player in the National Hockey League for a long time. And when I look at our group, what I started to think a lot about, and I talked to the coaches and the management staff, is how do you change the dynamic of the team, and where do you start? And it felt like Dylan is a very good number two center in the National Hockey League, and if you're going to make a big move, the conversations were kind of starting there. And he was not someone, I want to be clear, that we were looking to move or we were just going to just trade. It was going to have to be a hockey trade that we felt made our team better. And that was the intention on him, and certainly other players and core pieces and that type of thing. But, yeah, that's, I'd say, probably just how we got to today.
What are your impressions of Norris at this point?
Well, I just, you know, obviously a player that I have a very, very high opinion of. I've been watching very closely for a while. He's a 200-foot center, very, very talented, responsible on both sides of the puck. He plays in all situations. I mean, all situations, both special teams, very good face-off guy. You know, you watch him and you scout him, and he's out there 3-on-3, 4-on-4. You know, just a really good hockey player that is a true center that we think is going to be a guy that can come in and give us a boost and make the guys around him better. And that's why we targeted him.
He was a highly touted guy coming out. Has he just had hard luck? I know he's had a couple of surgeries. Has he just had hard luck in his NHL career?
Yeah, I think there's that happens sometimes. And, you know, you look at those things and pay attention and try to understand exactly what's going on. And but, yeah, I think sometimes it's hard to make sense of, you know, like the when things happen and then you know, you ask the question like, okay, is there a reason a certain injury happened? And you do your homework, and that's what we did. But we were certainly comfortable that this is a very that he's healthy, and this is a very, very good player with a lot of upside, and also, you know, term on his contract, and someone that can grow with our group.
What was Dylan's reaction, or what was that conversation like for you?
Hardest part of the job. Just be honest with you guys. Emotional for both of us. He's someone that I care about, have a lot of respect for, and basically what I told him was just that. You know, I appreciate you as a person. This is not personal. This is us in a position where I felt I had to make a really hard decision to improve our club. And you know, I gave him a hug and wished him luck and told him that, you know, just sometimes in life, the next chapter, you know, turns out can be a great thing. So, but it was hard. It was a really hard day in that respect. And, you know, both for Dylan and, you know, the players coming our way, you build relationships and, you know, you're part of, you got brothers that you go to the battle with every day. And then all of a sudden, there's a lot of emotion on days like this, and that's why I said it's, you know, it's the toughest part of the job.
Did you get the impression with him that he always wanted to be part of the solution here?
100%. Nothing but respect for Dylan, the way he carried himself. He would be the first one in my office saying, I need to be better, and what do I need to do to help this team? You know, so always looking at himself and internally and wanting more from his own game, which I have a lot of respect for. So he did. And he committed to us long term at a time, if you go back, where there wasn't as much of that going on. And so that meant a lot to me, and it still means a lot to me. But, you know, in this job, you need to make decisions that you think are best and for your team and that are very hard to make. But that's what we did today.
Kevin, you certainly wish you were in a different spot right now. The last press conference 3 months ago, you were on that day, I think, 3 points out of the playoffs. You end up going winless for 13 games in a row. I guess the question I would have about this entire season is, in that 13-game stretch where the season went south, why were no moves made? No minor league call-ups, waivers, trades, nothing happened in a 13-game stretch, and the season was basically over.
Yeah, it's I appreciate the question. You know, it's when you look at it, as you take a step back and say, you know, maybe could we have jolted or done something? Sometimes there's a trade deadline. Trades happen for a reason, because there's a pressure point. You know, there's a deadline, and when we were in the middle of the 13-game. There wasn't a deadline, and there wasn't a pressure point for other teams. And as hard as I was pushing potentially to do stuff that you guys may not know about, you know, you need someone else to partner up with. So what I wasn't going to do was make an emotional or make a decision just to make a trade or to move out a good hockey player because we're losing for futures or, you know, we have had a lot of picks. We've had prospects. So that just wasn't what I felt was the right thing to do for our team. But that stretch really, really hurt our season, and it's frustrating, believe me.
Moving forward now, your plan has obviously changed a little bit here. You have a core group of players, which you have had now for 2 or 3 years, and now it looks like, of course, you're not blowing it all up. I know that. But it looks like you might make some moves out of the core or into the core. You just made one now. How are you looking at moving forward now as you try to, you know, get the team? Because you and Lindy both said it, and it didn't surprise me when you said it, that the time is now, and it didn't work out that way this year. So now as you move forward, how do you tweak that plan maybe?
Well, I agree. It's a good question, because my job is to look at every single aspect of this organization, on the ice, what surrounds our guys, everything, and say, you know, what do we need to do better? And I need to start with myself. What do I need to do better? And then go through everything. And nothing will be off the table in terms of how we look at things. There's going to be a lot of hard conversations down the stretch. What I believe is we have a lot of good hockey players on our team and talented hockey players, and we haven't performed well enough. And so as we go into, you know, the stretch, we expect our guys to compete and play hard and win hockey games. And then when we get to the offseason, we're going to be looking at every part of this to say, what do we need to do? And if we need to move someone out to upgrade our team and to make our team better, we're going to do that. So nothing for me is off the table. And we'll look at everything, you know, the mix. And sometimes you think something on paper looks like it works, and then maybe it doesn't. So can you change that? And a lot of the trades, and I've probably said this to you guys before, a lot of trades, I mean, these trades take a long time, but even trades that didn't happen today, that things that we discussed, you probably pick up again after the season, you know, and these things may end up getting towards the draft, and so that's something that we'll continue to evaluate.
Kevin, you took multiple hits last night as a team from Ray Ferraro on the broadcast, talking about the team essentially being soft in the scrums, and Dylan was in the middle of that. Obviously, the Thompson thing was a flashpoint, another flashpoint of the season, really impacted your team in a negative way in terms of perception. How do you address the idea that this team has just been far too soft in multiple areas?
Yeah, I didn't hear what Ray said. I was obviously at the game live watching, so I can't, you know, comment to that piece in particular. But look, I believe that we need to be harder to play against, and we need to have a better five-man pack mentality. And I guess what I mean by that is there's all sorts of ways to be tough and hard. And, you know, there's certainly the fighting that people see, and that can happen. And I think there's been times this year where guys have stepped up and done that when it's needed to be done. But what I'd like to see of our team, and this is something that has certainly been discussed and addressed and will continue to be a conversation, is you have to have each other's back at all times in this sport. And when you are out there and if something happens, you need to be there for each other and you need to be together. And that's the team tough, the pack mentality I'm talking about. And I think sometimes when in a team sport, when everybody's kind of in it together and shoulder to shoulder, it makes everybody a little taller and a little stronger, and that's what we need to get to. We're not there. It hasn't been good enough, and it's something that you know, it's certainly going to be something that we think more about, address, talk about, and Lindy and I have certainly talked a lot about that.
Dennis Gilbert was the guy who would do that. Is this a trade that Ottawa maybe said, look, we want him? Because I know Dennis is one of the guys that would do that for you.
I love Gibby. He did everything he was asked here, and there was a reason that Ottawa wanted him, you know. I can't say enough good things about Gibby, and he's all about the town of Buffalo, too. So that wasn't an easy part of this trade, moving a guy like him. But, yeah, and it's he's not here, and so now we have to make sure that we're all looking in the mirror in the locker room and taking care of each other, and that's something that we're going to need to be better at.
When you talk about that five-man pack mentality, you know, that's something that obviously kind of needs to come organically. I'm curious your read on just the state of the room right now. Like, a lot of young guys who have endured a lot of losing, and we've seen what that's done to other players in the past in this franchise. Like, what is your read on that? Is there any fear of some of these guys just getting worn out by it?
Yeah, I appreciate that question, honestly, Matt, because it is something I think about, and it's something that I think if you ignore, you could be in trouble. So the question is, if you think about it like that, then what do you do about it? What you do about it, for me, is you have conversations, and then you make sure you, when you have guys like Jordan Greenway and Jason Zucker that want to be Buffalo Sabres and that are tremendous pros on and off the ice, and they understand what you're talking about, you got to keep those guys. And which we were, you know, fortunately it wasn't easy. We were able to do, and good on them to want to be here. And I guess what I'm getting at is, like, you have to actually talk about it. And Jason Zucker has to be able to sit with Jack Quinn and say, you know, here's what I see, and we need to be better in this area, and enough's enough of that. And I'm just using an example, not anything Jack did, but just, you know what I mean? And I think that's the way. What I can tell you is, and I can tell our fans this, I promise our guys care, and it has not gone well this year. But this is not a group of players that doesn't respect the game, doesn't want to be in Buffalo. These guys, we're not where we need to be. And I'm going to do everything in my power to fix it, starting with what I need to do better and look in the mirror first. But I love the town, okay? I love Buffalo. I'm from Buffalo. I know what this place can be and what it means, this organization and franchise mean to the city. And I can speak to that better than almost anyone. And we haven't done a good enough job. And that's something that I take extremely personal. And the thought of anyone ever thinking that I don't love Buffalo and don't love what we can do, that we can do something special here, just, it hurts. So I want to fix it. And I'm going to do everything I can, and it starts with what you talked about, the conversations and the hard things, and we're going
to
do it.
We can go through the parts of your roster, and we know what individual guys need to do better. What do you need to do better?
Me personally? Well, I think so. It's funny because I do self-evaluate and self-reflect quite a bit, and the 13-game winless streak would be a perfect example, Mike. Could I or should I have done something? I think a lot about it. But then on the other flip side, I think, but there's sometimes a short-term jolt that can maybe not be the best thing long-term. And I beat myself up that did I miss something? You know, so that's probably what I'd say. I can do a better job of really looking at things and saying, you know what? We're doing this today. And then you need a partner. I will say, I wasn't even during that 13 games just, you know, hanging out. There was a lot of phone calls and there was a lot of push, but, you know, I also am a big believer you have to sometimes take a step back and take emotion out of it and make sure you don't make a mistake because you're emotional. So I need to be better in terms of every single part of my job. I haven't been good enough. I haven't put a team on the ice that is capable of being in the playoffs, even though when I look at our talent and I look at where we are compared to other teams, I think we should be there, be in the fight, and I'm going to fix it.
Is it possible maybe some of these guys got rushed up? And let me use Jiří Kulík as an example. He played over 100 AHL games, and we've seen his development here. As you look at your Rochester now, you still have some good prospects down there who are in first place, by the way. Are you careful that, you know what, let them just do it down there, maybe not rush Devin up here or rush the two Russian defensemen or Hellenius or whoever we may be talking about? Do you want to just see them, hey, just won't be in a rush to be here? Like Kulík, as I said, it was over 100 AHL games that he played.
I totally agree, and I totally believe in that. And I look at when this started, Peterka and Quinn, you know, they dominated the American Hockey League. So I don't think we rushed anything there in terms of, like, were they ready? But you do know, even after guys have had time in the American League and have performed, when you're young, you're still going to have the dips and you're going to have just the nature of it as the ups and downs. Are there a couple things that probably if I had to do over again, what I would have looked at? You know, maybe, but I think, Paul, that when I kind of take a step back, we're in a different phase now. There was a time where you wanted to make sure you're getting guys reps and, you know, trying not to block guys with certain making a mistake, maybe going out and signing a veteran guy at the July 1, you know what I mean, that kind of thing, because I needed our young guys to kind of get there. But if I made some mistakes, for sure. And that's what I talk about when I'm being self-aware and reflect. But I think overall we've done a pretty good job of developing. And I also think where the state of Rochester, I mean, that's a tremendous hockey team being led by a lot of young kids who are exciting for us. But we're not going to rush him, for sure.
How much work do you think needs to be done to this roster still?
I'd like to think about the mix of our guys. And sometimes what I mean by that is, like, talent is talent, but it doesn't always work together. So, like, what could we find a certain type of partner for Owen Power that fits a little bit better? And see, that's, I'd say, what I'd really want to focus on as we head into, you know, the off season is, like, where could we just take steps? And I think that's what we did today, where Norris is a tremendous 200-foot two-way centerman that makes the players around him better, plays on both special teams. So, like, those are the type of things that we have to be able to assess and be aggressive and go out. And now we gave up a great player to get him, but I just think we're going to have to really keep at that and, you know, as we get into the summer.
How about the defenseman you got back?
Yeah, he. You know, you look at a former first-round pick, 24 years old, right shot D, who's played over 100 NHL games. Like, there's a lot to like, and I think for us it's a good opportunity to get him in and kind of assess where he's at. He obviously coming off an injury and stuff, but a good player.
We've heard reports about maybe Yoki Haru or Abe Kubel. Is that anything you can comment on yet, or hasn't the NHL helped you out on that yet?
Abe Kubel, just before I walked in here, the trade call was done. So that is a trade that is done, but I can't comment on the other one. And, you know, you guys have been around a long time and done this right at the deadline. A lot of trades come, so it's in the queue somewhere, but I unfortunately can't comment on it.
How about some thoughts on Zucker? There's a veteran guy who's had a good year who could have said to you, hey, I want to go chase a cup, find me another spot. Now, you paid him, obviously, but just the thought that he wanted to be part of this still.
Can't say enough good things about Jason Zucker from day one. And, you know, like, when you get a guy in, you do your homework in the summer, and you hear things, but you never really know till a guy walks in the door. And he has been a leader, a tremendous pro. He's become someone that Rasmus Dahlin goes to on small decisions, big decisions, as Rasmus learns how to be a captain. You know, the guys in the room respect the career he's had, but the teams he's played on, he's been tremendous. And you know what, I give Jason a lot of credit, because the first conversation he and I had together about, you know, the future was, I believe, in Seattle now, whatever that would have been a few weeks ago. And I challenged him a little bit, like, tell me why you want to be a Sabre. And he just said, I've fallen in love with this town and the locker room and these young guys, and I want to see this through. I know how good this team can be, and I want to be part of what could really happen in a special way here and turn this thing. And I just, it means a lot to me. You guys know how I feel. So I think that was a really important signing, and I give him credit, because he would have been a pretty sought-after guy on the open market for sure with the year he's had.
With Rasmus as your captain, we see the frustration he has on the ice, and sometimes it affects his play. You get to sit down with him in a room. Does he have that same frustration when he's talking to you that we see on the ice?
I just had a long sit down with Rasmus a couple of days ago for an hour in my office, and you know, the fans, you guys maybe not see the different side of him. He's incredibly intelligent and thoughtful in the way he approaches things, and he asks a lot of questions. And what he and I talk a lot about is how does he balance, you know, what he does on the ice, off the ice, you know, all those type of things. And I think the frustration that maybe you're referring to is also what makes him elite, because he's so competitive. And I told him, I'll share this with everyone, because I think it's important. I told him, you're our biggest minutes guy, generally every night, but you're also one of two and three guys that I would say work the absolute hardest in practice. You guys are in practice. You watch how hard he goes in every drill and competes. And I said, we need 23 of them. You know, like, so we need this mentality of just absolute, you know, competitive. And that's where he's maturing. And I just believe the way he is going to continue to drag more guys into the fight. Man, I respect that about him, and his talent's his talent, but I just think the other stuff is what I think makes him so special.
Where are you at with some of your RFAs? We saw J.J. Paterka's name floated around a lot this week, and, you know, that's obviously a big part of your your future, you know, planning and spending for next year?
Yeah, I guess there were a bunch of rumors out there on JJ. I was told by our PR staff, zero truth to anything around JJ in terms of looking to move him or any of that stuff. I think JJ's a guy that's a young player still. We're going to sit down after the season. We'll get to his agent immediately and say, okay, where do we go from here? But I just think he's one of our core young guys, and we need him to continue to get better, and we need to make sure that we're also explaining to him how we're going to make the team better.
What about Bo? I mean, you already have some high-priced defensemen that you have. Bo is going to command quite a bit of money. How do you look at trying to re-sign him?
It goes back to the puzzle that I kind of said, like the fit, right? You know, he's been really good with Rasmus. Now, I think it was, it was good. You know, Lindy, they changed the pairs up a little lately. Just, you know, Samuelson, we need to become back to Sammy, you know, the who we know he is, a top four that's hard to play against. And in terms of, you know, Bo, I think he's been really good for us this year. He's competitive. Yeah, we haven't started any conversations with him. You guys know my style. The first conversation I like to have is with the player and say, you know, do you want to be here and why? And, you know, those are the first steps. But I'm certainly a guy that I think is a good Buffalo Sabre because he loves the game. You know, he's infectious personality, and I think he's one of our players that I think's had a pretty good season.
I mean, there's a lot of variables with the RFAs, but when you look at your projections, the cap's going up, like, do you anticipate having room to make, you know, additions from the outside? Do you anticipate, like, kind of being a cap team?
Yeah, I mean, the way things are headed right now, and even, you know, with today, there was a, you know, we took on obviously cap, you know, in terms of the trades we made and all that stuff are with Norris, and yeah, I think we're going to be, you know, it's always hard to say because some of the stuff's projections, but the way we kind of look at our cap situation is we're going to be right there. And, you know, I know that's been a little bit of a narrative out there. It's never been something that we weren't able to do. Part of it is when you go through what we've gone through in terms of getting so young and trying to build this back up, you know, you're going to have a lot of entry-level contracts. But what I've also said all along is some of these entry-level contracts jump up pretty quick, and that's kind of what we're projecting on some of that this summer. So I think that we're going to try to do everything we can to make the team better, but we're going to be right there when it's all said and done, I think, with the cap.
What was Terry's message in Montreal, and what was Terry's message to you in recent weeks about this team going forward?
I want to be careful about Montreal in terms of, you know, I think it was what was said was really impressive, but I think it's better just to the players have that to themselves. But what I think the bigger thing I could share is that the commitment of Terry Pegula. He got on the plane, flew in, met with the team, got on the plane and flew out. You know, it's like us driving to Transit Road. And he did that because he cares, and he didn't have to do that. So I think that sent a pretty strong message to the players how invested he is. He cares so much. He watches every game. He loves his team. He loves the guys. And over the last few weeks, you know, the message to me has been, you know, what do we need to do to make this team better? Everything we should be thinking about is, you know, we need to improve, and what are those decisions? And Kevin, come up with answers. And that's, you know, part of why we did what we did today, because we think it improved our team.
You say you have uncomfortable talks with players, with coaches. Does he have uncomfortable talks with you too?
Yeah, I mean, what I wouldn't say uncomfortable, I'd say honest. Mm-hmm. You know, Terry and I have a long relationship. You guys know that. I'm very honest with Terry when I'm asked a question, and if I've made a mistake, I tell him I've made a mistake. When I believe I have a solution, I'm going to tell him I have a solution. I certainly am keeping him informed of every possible scenario of what we're going to do, and ultimately he's empowered me to make the final decision. And that's what I did today. Took in all the information, listened, made sure he was in the loop, and when push came to shove, it's my call. But that's what I love about Terry, because we do have that relationship where there's true honesty, and I accept responsibility for where we are in the standings. It's on me.
What's your sense of just the job Lindy's done? And I know it was a two-year commitment. You know, this time last year you're making a coaching change. And just what do you think of the job he's done and what it looks like going into the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, Lindy would be the first one to stand up here and say that we didn't expect to be where we are in the standings, and he's disappointed and frustrated. But what I've seen from Lindy is an authentic person that is he's got so much experience that he can explain to the players, like, this is the process. And the result's going to take care of itself. And if we don't get the process right, the results are going to be poor. And we're working on that. Like, we haven't played the right way enough this year. Our defensive game is not good enough. We have not kept the pucks out of our net. Our 5-on-5 scoring has been good. Our special teams have to get better. But, you know, like, so this is the stuff that Lindy's able to say. And if I'm assessing, like, I think there's been some really good growth in some certain areas, and I think there's other areas that we need to improve. You know, and Lindy and I, you know, similar to the Terry conversation, Lindy and I have a long relationship and a very honest relationship, and we'll be lockstep here as we finish out the season and then get into the summer. And he'll be part of, okay, what does he think? And, you know, this is, he's certainly not a coach that he just coaches and I just do this. We talk every day about everything and bounce ideas off each other. I just think that he knows there's a lot more to get out of this group, and that's the next step for us.
Did you send Kulik down before 5 so he could play in the playoffs?
Yeah, and what I said to him was that it's not a slam dunk that we will, but let's have the conversation. Let's at least make sure we're in a position where we're able to if we want. And, you know, so he'll be here with us, and obviously through the rest of the season. I think he's had a really, really good rookie season, but I think it's a conversation. You know, where is he at? And where's the growth opportunity, development opportunity? I mean, like, I want the expectation of our group to be playing into June, you know, and sometimes you have to feel that. And he's done that in the American League. But, you know, part of what we have to do, and this is going to be a message that I'm going to continue to talk to our team about, is we have to raise our own standard. Our personal standard has to be better, and then that'll help the team standard become higher. And he has a high personal standard, even at a really young age. So that's part of what we'll talk about as we get towards the end of the season and, you know, see what we end up doing with Rochester.
New guys available tomorrow? Any of them?
Norris will be supposed to get in late tonight. Unfortunately, JBD is it's immigration. I don't know if you guys know anyone, but maybe you can make a call for me.
Do you got to call a defenseman up then?
What's that?
Do you have to call up a defenseman then?
I think we're at 6 right now. It's been a long, long few weeks here. So I don't think so, but we do have some guys sick and more than you even know. So it's going to be a little dicey here over the next 24 hours. Potentially. So I don't know how long the immigration stuff, but definitely not for tomorrow for him.
You expect these two defensemen you added to, you know, be on the NHL roster?
No. Branstrom will report to Rochester, but JBD will be here.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.